Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up!
Because before I leave in 3 weeks with your WWE Championship, I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest. I don't hate you, John. I don't even dislike you. I do like you. I like you a hell of a lot more than I like most people in the back. I hate this idea that you're the best. Because you're not. I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. There's one thing you're better at than I am, and that's kissing Vince McMahon's ass. You're as good as kissing Vince's ass as Hulk Hogan was. I don't know if you're as good as Dwayne, though. He's a pretty good ass kisser. Always was and still is. Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall. I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company. And I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. That's right, I'm a Paul Heyman guy. You know who else is a Paul Heyman guy? Brock Lesnar. And he split just like I'm splitting, but the biggest difference between me and Brock is I'm going to leave with the WWE Championship. Imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that if they're just that, they're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me and the fact that day in and day out for almost 6 years I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even at commentary. Nobody can touch me. And yet, no matter how many times I prove it, I'm not on your lovely little collector cups. I'm not on the cover of the program. I'm barely promoted. I don't get to be in movies. I'm certainly not on any crappy show on the USA Network. I'm not on the poster of WrestleMania. I'm not in the signature that's produced at the start of the show. I'm not on Conan O'Brien. I'm not on Jimmy Fallon. But the fact of the matter is I should be. And trust me, this isn't sour grapes. But the fact that Dwayne is in the main event of WrestleMania next year and I'm not makes me sick. Oh, hey, let me get something straight. Those of you who are cheering me right now, you are just the biggest part of me leaving as anything else. Because you're the ones that are sipping out of those collector cups right now. You're the ones that buy those programs that my face isn't on the cover of. And then at 5 in the morning at the airport, you try to shove it in my face so you can get an autograph and try to sell it on eBay because you're too lazy to go get a real job. I'm leaving with the WWE Championship on July 17th, and hell, who knows, maybe I'll go defend it in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Maybe I'll go back to Ring of Honor. Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing? The reason I'm leaving is you people, because after I'm gone, you're still going to pour money into this company. I'm just a spoke on the wheel. The wheel's going to keep turning, and I understand that. But Vince McMahon's going to make money despite himself. He's a millionaire who should be a billionaire. You know why he's not a billionaire? Because he surrounds himself with glad-handing, nonsensical yes-men like John Laurinaitis, who's going to tell him everything that he wants to hear. And I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family. Let me tell you a personal story about Vince McMahon, all right? Do we do this whole bully camp?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Katrina. What's going on, Katrina?
Not too much. What's going on?
Oh, what's going on is I had to spend the day apologizing because of something you started, and somehow I'm the main villain involved in this. And
well, you are the main villain.
Thanks a lot, Katrina.
Okay.
Huh?
I didn't realize we were required to like all these granny segments. I didn't know we were required to enjoy them. I didn't know we couldn't say we disliked one. Out of about 52 she does a year, I'll probably enjoy 51 of them. She should be flattered, to be honest.
Hey there, you're not helping the cause. You're not helping the cause.
I can't help
here,
you. I can't take any criticism. I can't help that.
Well, she's an older woman, Katrina, you know.
Well,
but
no,
I will once again state here for the record, I apologize to Granny. I should not have read her message on the air. I wasn't thinking. I thought I was actually defending her, but it was still wrong of me to read that PM. So I apologize, Granny. It was wrong. And the next time I meet Katrina in person, I will definitely punch him in the face for you. So.
But what? I didn't do nothing.
Just
sorry
because.
I did not like your segment. That is not my fault.
Just because, Katrina, I'm just going to have to do it, dude. But anyway, this episode is, well, actually, we apologize. Our other co-host isn't on the air. I have no idea where he's at. He's probably stalking Eddie Vedder or something right now. But Craig won't be here, but he will be back soon. So apologize for no Craig, but it's not like he's going to affect the show or anything. But today's topic is, and we only actually just talked about the Punk thing. We really didn't really discuss the whole subject here, so I'm going to rely on your memory to kind of help us through this tonight. We're going to be talking about shoots and work shoots and stuff like that in pro wrestling, which is a big deal. People make a big deal about shoots or work shoots because anytime they hear any kind of insider reference, they kind of feel that it's almost directed at them and they get very excited about it. And the reason we're talking about shoots is because of the awesome, awesome, awesome CM Punk promo at the end of Raw, which I think has been the promo of the year by far. And,
yeah.
you know, I was totally leaning towards Steve Austin for best promo of the year because of everything on Tough Enough, but that promo last night, that's one of those one-shot promos that one promo could take you to, like, winning best promo of the year.
Well, that's already won best promo of the year, that Punk promo, I think.
Which one?
The Punk promo, I think it'll win the best of the year in the Observer.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just got everyone talking. I mean, it's just like, you know, I remember thinking back to a few years ago when they wanted to restart ECW, and Joey Styles cut that great work promo, and it created buzz about ECW. But this is even getting more pub than that. So, I mean, this is almost as big, or maybe just as big as, like, the original Nexus angle. You know, I mean, it's just...
Yeah, funny, it's like 1 year ago, the Nexus thing, wasn't it, at this time?
Yeah, just about, pretty much. And, yeah, so, I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean...
I can't wait for the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about missing work again and watching the pay-per-view. The last pay-per-view, I stayed home and watched, and I'm already on the point where, you know, they're starting to write me up. So my next write-up was supposed to be the second step, which is called a warning letter, which doesn't mean shit. It just means that they're cracking down. Well, they didn't write me up in a specific amount of time, so that whole absence doesn't count. So that leaves me with one more. So... yeah, I probably will be staying home and watching the pay-per-view because just for that promo, you know, I'll fuck over. I'll forget about a day's worth of pay just to watch that pay-per-view just because I'm
well,
so excited because of that promo.
If you do, then let's do a show afterwards or something.
Yeah, we could do that. We could easily do that. And everything about the promo was great. I mean, his delivery of the promo was just fantastic. I mean... he wasn't overly excited. He wasn't, like, too calm. You know, his tone of voice made it seem even more real, you know.
Yeah. It wasn't so much to make the shoot stuff was obviously a big part of, you know, why the promo was so great. But just, like, the look on his face and the way his inflection and how he spoke, you could tell this guy's like a miserable bastard, and he's pissed off.
Yeah, I mean, it was great, dude. It was fucking funny. And then him sitting there, you know, the way he was sitting there, I mean, he's really become, to me, he's become like I felt this way about Edge for a while, that he kind of like was carrying the promotion in a way, not really by himself, but he just did everything so good. He was just so hot,
yeah.
You know, when he was champion at Lita. And right now, that's how I see Punk. I mean, his just performance has been awesome. I mean, that promo, all right, best of the year. His wrestling is pretty good. I mean, he has pretty great matches. And, you know, he's right now, to me, he's like the MVP.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, he was never supposed to be in that spot, you know?
Yeah,
thought, not like he didn't have the talent for it, but you know how WWE works. You never expect him to get that high.
Yeah, especially considering, I believe Triple H used the term, and I could be wrong, but he knows how to simulate how to work.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, what does that mean? It means that he's...
You know how to simulate how to work? Don't you know how to work?
He can make himself look like he knows how to work, but he really doesn't know how to work. I mean,
shit, I don't know.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
I mean, you never see, like, you've seen these guys, like, he's gotten the highest of anybody that's really come off the indie scene, I think. Like, from the ROH places like that.
Yeah, he has. I mean... you know, there might have been a time where you could have said Joe in TNA when he was actually making some waves.
Joe ain't shit anymore. So.
Yeah, he's nothing now.
Don't mean nothing to be at the top of TNA.
Yeah, I mean, I have high hopes that maybe Danielson can get as high as CM Punk. But right now, CM Punk, you know, he's broken through. I mean, I remember when he was Wasn't he like Raven's errand boy in TNA at one point when it first started?
Well, I wouldn't even watch him back then because I didn't get the weekly pay-per-views. They weren't on my my cable system or whatever, so I never got to see any of that stuff. Only got to see a little bit of Punk, some stuff he did in ROH, I think maybe near the end. I know he did some stuff with like Ricky Steamboat and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I pretty much missed the ROH stuff. Just read a little bit about it, and you know, I didn't watch those TNA pay per views either. But I do remember the one story where he actually, and I'm not mistaken, and you know, you've heard different stories and variations about how bad it was, but apparently, if I'm not mistaken, he kicked Teddy Hart's ass.
Well, the way I heard it. From I watched like a Kid Cash shoot interview, and he said CM Punk got his ass whipped.
Oh, really? Because I could have swore. Oh, wait. I don't know. I thought it was the other way around. It's been so long ago, I could be wrong. But I do know that there was a fight and something happened.
Yeah, they got in a fight outside like the White Trash Cafe, like in Nashville, where they all used to eat when they were in Nashville doing all those shows or something. They got in a fight or something. And I don't know. I mean, I like Punk, but I mean, he's got a kind of a attitude and a little arrogance about him. Not saying that's a bad thing, but it's kind of an obvious thing, like for some of the stories you hear.
Yeah.
Maybe kind of like a Rob Van Dam or somebody.
Yeah, kind of. I can see that. But he wasn't in TNA much longer after that. I don't think he was there very more than like a month or two, to be honest with you. I mean, I could be wrong, but then he pretty much went back to, I think, Ring of Honor. I think Raven had a big thing with getting him over on the independent.
Yeah, he kind of like a version of Raven, if you think about it.
Yeah, like a more modern version, younger in shape version.
Yeah, isn't going to... in shape, he doesn't do drugs and all that shit. I love the thing at the beginning of the show when Sean says, "We don't drink, we don't do drugs." He says, "Punk says anymore." Sean says, "That's fair." I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was actually hilarious.
I remember seeing Punk the first time on WWF TV at remember WrestleMania that year when he came out at. And John Cena's like when they did the gangster thing.
Oh, yeah, he was one of the gangsters. I remember that now.
Yeah. He should have brought that up in the promo.
Oh, yeah, no shit, right? No shit. I mean, well, they didn't really need to add anything.
One thing I liked about the promo was it was one of those work shoot things, but it wasn't one that talks about how wrestling's fake, you know, how it isn't real. If you look back, everything he said had nothing to do with, like, wrestling being fake.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, you don't get any times in things like this. I mean, you talked about, obviously, Stephanie and Triple H, you know, that's something that doesn't have anything to do with wrestling being fake. What else? I can't remember what else. Like, the John Cena thing, John Cena kissing Vince McMahon's ass. I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, whatever.
Well, everyone says he's a company guy, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of true, you know. I mean, basically everything he kind of said is basically true, you know what I mean?
But it could also fit with him, with just a guy being a heel, you know, just saying stuff like that.
What I like to know is, you know, I think on the David Bryan show they were talking about maybe there was just a handful of people, like maybe three or four people that actually knew. And I'm guessing Stephanie and Hunter knew, but imagine if they actually didn't know, like Vince actually came. Vince and Kevin, that kept it a secret from them. And
I think the Stephanie Hunter thing is something that it's so obvious if you're going to do something like this, that's what you should throw out. Because it's like, you know, everybody knows they're going to take over the company, so why not just throw that out there, even whether you believe it or you don't believe it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't out there pissing and moaning about having to put this guy over. Wasn't pissing and moaning about having to put that guy over. And, you know, bullshit like that, which I hate when they do that kind of stuff on these types of things.
Uh-huh. And, basically,
like,
I mean,
he booked you to TNA. He just didn't even mention them, or maybe he was told not to.
Yeah. I love the Colt Cabana line. I thought that was hilarious. In fact, Colt Cabana's already got shirts for sale that say, "Hi, Colt Cabana, how you doing?" And then
I think he had like 1,000 new followers on Twitter later that night, something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was hilarious. I think he's mentioned Cabana a couple times or something like that. In a few
we wore that shirt. Remember when he was doing commentary?
Oh yeah, yeah. Wow. And excuse me, I have something in my throat here. And then the other thing that I liked about it is the way they cut it off. I mean, they actually cut it off like right at the right time. You know what I mean? Like right when he was about to say something, Vince is like, "Oh, he went too far."
Yeah, he can't be saying stuff at the bully campaign. I mean, that's kind of going a little bit too far.
Yeah, that is.
And then they just went to black. They didn't even have the WWE logo at the end of the show. We just went to black and then to the next show on USA.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was just everything about it was executed perfectly. You know, just one of those wow segments, you know. And it's, everyone's talking about it. I mean, we're probably the 100th show this week talking about it, probably 100,000 podcasts. You know, there's so many goddamn many of them. But, this is up there as far as, newsworthy or as far as getting people excited. I mean, I can't even think of anything that as far as like a work shoot that actually got people talking. Maybe, I mean, I guess you'd have to go back to, what was it, Bash at the Beach? Was it Bash at the Beach?
Oh, when Jeff Jarrett laid down for Hulk Hogan or something?
You know, Vince Russo cut that promo on Hogan.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that was only because it was so much hotter back then, you know.
Yeah, the last one that I really liked was all those weeks in 97 with, like, Sean and Brett going to each other on the microphone on TV and shit like that.
Yeah.
Because they were always doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they did have that period where they were trying to make everything seem like it was a little bit of a shoot to give, like, I guess, DX more of an edge. Back then.
Yeah. I never liked any of that Russo bullshit, though, in, like, 2000. I thought that was all stupid. He's always out there talking about, oh, you got to lose these fake matches, and you don't want to lose these fake matches and that bullshit.
Yeah, he just took it too far. He made everything like a work shoot. Like, a work shoot doesn't mean crap. It's fucking every segment is fucking a work shoot. I mean, and then they really got insider, you know what I mean? Like, things that fans really, really wouldn't know. You know, even inside fans wouldn't know, you know. Like when Sid came out with a squeegee, I mean, that was the small portion of the small portion that would have known about it, that didn't know about it, you know.
But yeah, when Bischoff said, "What's the matter, Sid, you don't have your scissors with you?"
Oh, yeah, that was pretty funny. that was pretty funny. And, I'm being heckled on Facebook by a barber right now saying that I need to learn how to speak or something. So, oh, that's another person I got ringed out because of you, Couture. This morning I get ripped a new asshole because of you, because of the whole granny situation. You know, it's just never ending here.
Were that those beeps that I heard going over your phone when she was chatting with you or something?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was my phone. Because I have the same kind of noise on my phone when somebody's trying to get in touch with me on Facebook or something.
Yeah.
Still, Barbara, I'm sorry. I don't have nothing to do with any of this. I apologize.
Okay, well, I'll let her know. I think she actually calmed down about that whole Spurs Dallas thing. So, you know, you got to watch it, Couture. She might be little, but she could. She's a little firecracker. She would explode on your little ass.
Shoot on everybody here after a while.
Yeah. But as far as work shoots go, let's talk about some of the more famous ones. You know, we got the Joey Styles one from ECW came out. We got the Paul Heyman one from right before they got kicked off the air. You got Brian Pillman with the Booker Man. You got Shane Douglas with the NWO title. This including the one from Raw, what would be your favorite shoot or work shoot moment in pro wrestling after this?
I don't know. I really like the stuff Brett and Shawn did back in 97 when they were, you know, shooting each other on the mic, seemed like every week. Other than that, you know, I like the Joey Styles one before ECW came back.
Yeah, that one, let's talk about that one, because that was awesome. That was like, they had already done the first pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, they did the first one in 2005, and then they were coming back in 2006, and this was like maybe a couple months before the second one-night stand pay-per-view.
Yeah, and this is basically what happened is, wasn't like the King fucking with Joey Styles, and Joey Styles kind of had it with him and kind of like,
he slapped.
I forgot what he did, but it's like the King kind of like bullied him around a little bit, like kind of roughed him up. Not like kicking his ass, but, you know.
I think he was like making fun of ECW or something, and then he said, hit me, Joey. He said, Joey, you gotta get fired up. Get angry. And then push me. And then I think he hauled off and slapped Lawler in the face, and then Lawler kind of pie-faced him and threw him to the ground. And he got up and
left. Yeah, and then he stormed off. And then he came back, and he cut what was probably, well, it's hard to say, because, you know, Joey Styles had some great commentary when he was in ECW.
Yeah.
And he was just such an awesome announcer. You know, the WWE never took advantage of what they had with him, because he was just so awesome. And he cut that promo. I mean, that promo was awesome. I just remember after that promo, I was excited. I was like, hell yeah, ECW's coming back. It's going to fucking kick some ass, you know, and that lasted like, what, a week?
Well, I knew ECW was going to fail when they announced it was coming back. I didn't want it to,
That promo gave people hope, though. People kind of got excited for it. I mean, if it wouldn't have been for that promo, everyone would have been like, eh, you know, from the very beginning. But people heard that Joey Styles go off and cut that awesome fucking promo. And then people were, like, talking about ECW. It's like, oh, my God, maybe they're actually going to try, you know. And they did bring in a few of the old names, you know. They did have fucking Sandman and Sabu and a few other people
that were
at the very beginning.
ECW TV show with the Hammerstein where all the fans are changed the channel.
Oh, those fans were fucking awesome at the Hammerstein.
And they were like booing the Big Show and Batista out of the building. They were having a match.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't take long for them to throw in the WWE wrestlers and make it a WWE show. I mean,
yeah.
I think Heyman was only in charge of it for just a couple weeks before he got the axe from it. But, yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, exactly when I knew ECW was done for good was at the Royal Rumble here in San Antonio where the Sabu came running down to the ring with the table, and he set up the table, and I remember I picked my friend's son with me, and I was like, I guarantee you he's going through that table in like a minute. And sure enough, you know, Sabu, after like a minute, gets backdropped and goes through his own table, and I was like, you know what? There's no hope. They'll never treat these guys as anything more than just a fucking joke.
Yeah.
After that, one of the first work shoots that I remember, and if I think about it, I could probably maybe come up with something more, but one of the first big things, and I guess this is what actually kind of started the trend of doing work shoots, and that's Brian Pillman with the I respect you, Booker Man comment.
Yeah.
And, that
funny
was like,
he did that in all three. He did that in all three companies.
Yeah, pretty much, you know.
WCW,
I mean,
ECW, and WWF.
Yeah, but the WCW one, that's the most famous one, because basically he was involved with a feud with Kevin Sullivan, who was the booker at the time, and Pillman was part of the Four Horsemen. And, to be honest with you, I don't even remember what their feud started about or what was really going on. I just remember they were having a feud.
Pillman was kind of like, he's kind of just like acting like out of his mind, like a crazy person or something. And he was always getting into like the Dungeon of Doom's business or or he's screwing something up in the Horseman or something, and that's where the thing with Kevin Sullivan and him came in. So.
Yeah. So, and then basically they're having like a strap match, and the match only lasted like, what, 30 seconds maybe?
Yeah.
And then, like, I guess Sullivan might have strapped him a few times, and basically he grabbed the microphone and he said, "I respect you, Booker man," and basically took off, and Arn Anderson came out and, like, had the match. And it was kind of like, the way
I
they
had no
played
idea
it, it was
what
like,
that meant.
Yeah, like, no one knew what the fuck, no one knew what it meant, and no one knew what the fuck was going on.
I know what a Booker was.
Yeah, no, yeah, I mean,
the
Renekton
match in 96, I don't know shit.
Right, they never said anything about fucking Dusty being the Booker or Eddie Graham or being the Booker or Johnny Mantel being the Booker. They never ever said the word Booker. So, it's like, what the fuck is he talking about? Where the fuck is he going? They're supposed to have a match. You know what I mean? No one ever, like, walked off like that before. So, it really was one of those, like, what the fuck is going on moments, even though no one really knew what it was. And it really wasn't, to be honest with you, it's become more of a big deal than it actually was. It's more like the legend of the I respect you, Booker man.
I don't know if it did anything for anybody other than Pillman.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of got him over. And then it got him so over that Hulk Hogan decided when they were having that stupid fucking cage match, the fucking three-level fucking, I don't even, what was it called?
It was like the uncensored cage. I can't even remember what it was, what the name of the cage was.
It was like this.
That was the stupidest match I've ever seen.
Yeah, it had this contraption. It was like different compartments, and it was Hogan and Randy Savage, and I don't know what the. I don't know if they had a win, pin somebody, or escape.
Well, they didn't know either.
Or what? Yeah, I mean, it just didn't make no sense. But basically, you had like I think Flair was in it. You know, I had like most of the bad guys are in it. They brought back. They brought back fucking Zeus.
Fucking
of all
Jeep
people.
And Jeep Swinson.
Yeah, and Jeep Swinson. They had Bane, and they had, what the hell's his name on Friday? Z-Bo. They had Bane and Z-Bo out there trying to kick Hulk Hogan's ass.
Yeah, they called Jeep Swinson, they called him the Final Solution, and they had to change that because that was like something to do with in Germany when Hitler would exterminate the Jews or something like that. It's called
Who wouldn't know about that? Who? I mean, that made no connection in my mind, you know.
I mean,
must have been some old Jewish man that worked for Turner that must have got upset
maybe
about it.
Maybe Dave Meltzer.
Yeah, maybe it was Dave. Dave screws them off. But, go ahead.
Maybe it was Brent Crimmin.
Yeah, I could see Brent Crimmin doing that. That'd be hilarious.
But, Pillman got into Hogan wanted to bring him back in that match just so he could beat him because he was so hot. And Pillman, he didn't show up.
Yeah, he just didn't show up. So I remember that. He was like...
He was working with Bischoff and he said, "Now, why don't you give me my..." Talked him into giving him a real release from WCW. And so he got his real release from WCW. Bischoff was doing that, you know, still keep the work going. Then he went and signed with WWF.
Yeah, but before he signed with WWF, he did some shit with ECW where he basically went and had this one promo. And I remember basically he at the end of it, he was ending it like he was going to take his dick off and just piss right there.
Yeah.
And then
Joey Styles said,
put the
thing away. Joey Styles said, put the thing away.
I've never seen the segment, but I've heard it. And just hearing it, you know, just the visuals, it was like, it's just an awesome fucking thing. And then didn't he say the N-word in there?
Yeah. The New Jack almost beat the shit out of him. This was when after the accident, when he was in a wheelchair, he was talking about the NWA, and it seems like he's like aiming at the gangsters, and he said, "And don't anybody come yell at me, and don't send me no post me being a racist." He'd say, "You got these niggers with attitudes up here," and kind of like a shot at the gangsters, and New Jack went like ape shit, almost beat the shit out of him in his wheelchair.
Yeah, I mean, he wanted to beat up the Junkyard Dog one time because the Junkyard Dog owed him some money for crack. Who wants to beat up the Junkyard Dog? I mean, come on, man. Come on. Give his brother a break, New Jack. It's probably only a 20 anyway.
He asked for his money. He said, brother, I'm the Junkyard Dog. I ain't going to pay you your money. And then Jay says, nigga, I don't care who you are. You paid me my fucking money.
Yeah. And then it wasn't long after that he actually passed away. But going back to that crazy match, didn't Jeep Swinson actually pass away, like, very soon after that? If I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. I was trying to remember when that movie was. That was like mid-90s, wasn't it?
It was around there. I mean, it was...
late 90s, maybe?
Yeah. You know, I always thought Vader
had a heart attack.
Well, fuck, dude. His heart was probably bigger than our heads, you know? You know, but I always thought Vader would have been a better Bane than him.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, anyway, it don't matter. That movie still would have sucked anyway, because that movie sucked. I mean, Arnold was fucking awesome just because, I don't know what it was about that movie, but Arnold as the fucking Mr. Freeze was fucking awesome. But that was the only good thing about that movie.
And, like, one back then, it was kind of like just too cartoony. I like the recent, you know, recent Batmans and some of the other movies now. They're not that bad.
Yeah, the new ones are quite better.
Yeah.
But, and then Pillman, he came to WWE, and he kind of still had that crazy character. And he was still kind of doing the work shoots, but it was more, what do you call it, organized or more, you know, you could tell that, you know, you could tell he wasn't going into business just for himself. You know what I mean?
I remember in ECW, he did some kind of vignette where he was wrestling a pencil. I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like fighting the booker. You know, you got to beat the pencil.
That's actually awesome now when you think about it. But back then, you're like, what the fuck is he talking about?
There's like when, like I was watching like a old Steve Corino shoot interview, and said when he was shooting with Dusty in ECW, he said in this like this promo or something, and he said, I went and talked to Tully Blanchard and asked him what I've got to do to beat Dusty Rhodes, and Tully told me, son, you need to take the pencil out of his hand. That's the only way you're gonna beat him.
That's actually pretty badass. That's pretty bad. The thing with Brian Pillman is that happened right before the internet really took off, you know?
Yeah.
Imagine had, like, today, like, the internet was as big today as it was then. He made a lot of money when he signed with WWE, but he really, really would have banked had it, you know, at the time it's been a little different.
Yeah, I kind of see a little similarities in him and CM Punk, you know, just kind of look and, you know, just way he talked and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And he really was seeming like he was a little crazy out there at the end of those last few years.
He Lord knows how many drugs he's on.
Yeah. And the hell, he was probably one of Dave's biggest sources at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny when you talk about sources like, did you see that the photo that's on the front page of Brian and Vinny?
Yeah.
Okay, now I don't know that this is exactly the chair that I'm thinking about, but you know the Chris Benoit story about Chris Benoit giving him a WWE chair?
Uh-huh.
That might have been it in the photo.
I don't know. I figured he had took that away somewhere and wasn't going to get it out again.
Yeah, well, there's a WWE chair. It could be or could not be. I mean, maybe Brian's got a big collection, but...
Jesus, Brian looks like he's 12 years old in his fucking picture.
JJ from the Sir Highlight's son actually looks older than Brian
Jesus Christ.
He didn't know the teachers. Yeah.
This is the person we're listening to on the radio every week.
Yeah.
And he looks okay. I said, who's fucking with all this UWF shit?
The what?
I said, who wants to win all this UWF shit anyway?
I entered the contest. I mean, it's not going to fit me, but I entered the contest. I even got Barb to enter the contest.
It's going to be a contest nobody entered.
I wouldn't mind winning the cap, but the shirt's not definitely not going to fit me. But, yeah, who really wants that stuff? But we'll talk a little bit more about
this picture. Looks like this picture looks like the white version of Crime Time.
Yeah, basically. No shit, because Vinny is so fucking huge, just like fucking Chad was. And this is uncoordinated.
Half faded Bret Hart jeans on.
Yeah. But the reason I even brought it up is because that was probably one of Brian's sources, and then just like Tillman was one of Dave's, and they both ended up the same way, unfortunately. Yeah. Of course, that's not funny, but yeah. But let's talk about you bring up some a shoot or a work shoot that you remember.
We talk about I just bring up some examples from like the shittiest year of all time, like in WCW in 2000. I just bring up a few examples from that. Now you got the whole new blood against the Millionaires Club, and Sid comes out and he's supposed to give the world title back, and he won't. And Bischoff says, "What's wrong, Sid? You don't have your scissors." And it's like from, when the thing with Arn, I think pretty much anybody listening to this knows what that is, where he stabbed Arn in a hotel room or something like that. And I said maybe 10% of the people watching maybe knew about that. I don't know, maybe more. And just the way they would do stuff, like Goldberg didn't want to go, like was in a three-way match and didn't want to go up for the powerbomb of Kevin Nash, and he just like, dead-weighted him and just left the ring. And the announcer's like, well, that was in the script. Now what are they going to do, improvise? Are they going to ad-lib? What's the deal? I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's like the stupidest shit I've ever seen.
It's not a shoot. You're doing shit like that on commentary,
Yeah. And then, like, the next night he said he's going to put Goldberg in a match with Tank Abbott and other. Stipulation is going to be there's no script.
Yeah, that's the
thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah, Vince Russo just lost his fucking mind, dude. I mean, I don't know. He came up with some of the stupidest shit, but what's so hilarious is that so many of that shit revolved around fucking stupid ass Sid. Sid in the scissors trying to kill Arn Anderson. Sid going out and getting a squeegee because he wanted to beat up, didn't he want to beat up Brian Pillman?
Yeah, Pillman took it away from him.
And then even smaller ass, Mike Graham took it away from him?
Yeah.
Mike Graham, who's like one-third the size of the digits, fucking disarmed him of his squeegee that he was going to use to, I don't know what he was going to do with it. Was he going to clean?
Is this the same Mike Graham that invented the internet?
what DVD did he say that on? Because I gotta see that.
Actually, it's on the Rise and Fall of WCW. It's on Netflix.
Oh man, I gotta watch that then. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I hope my.
Oh, you know what? I do have it. I lent it out and I never got it back. But
yeah, I connected my modem to my Xbox so I can watch all this Netflix shit on my TV now. Pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. You know, that actually just kind of, what we were just talking about, just reminded me of what actually was the very first shoot that I ever saw in pro wrestling. And that is here in Dallas, Texas, in World Class, where Ken Mantell, I decided to start his own little territory. I think it was Wild West Wrestling, and he stole some of the talent, not a whole lot. And one of the talent that he stole was Lance Von Erich, the the not real cousin of the Von Erichs, who was over despite what everyone says, but that's besides the point. But anyway, that which caused Fritz to come out on the air, and this is one family that never broke kayfabe. I mean, until the day he died, Terry Von Erich would tell you that wrestling was a shoot.
Craig, they wouldn't
mean?
Even break kayfabe with funerals and press conferences, with that Mike press conference, you know, where he's in the hospital for the toxic shock and shit like that. They said he's going to be a world champion, I guarantee it.
Well, they did do one. They did do one skit where they're, like, having breakfast or lunch, and they're actually talking about Ric Flair, like, almost like Ric Flair was actually, like, a friend. Kind of.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, but that
yeah,
was, like,
you know, it was weird on those world-class things, seeing, you know, you've got all these, it was weird seeing all those tributes from, like, Michael Hayes and Jimmy Garvin from, like, back in, like, 84 when he died on TV.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It was strange.
It was strange
going
because
on back then, to be honest, if I saw Michael Hayes talking about David Von Erich, you know, even though he had died, if I saw him saying how horrible it was, I thought they were supposed to hate each other.
Okay, you saw all that after the fact, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can't ask you the question I was going to ask. I was going to say, did you think, or because this is how I felt, and if you want to call me a stupid kid, that's fine, but I was not the only person who thought this, but the first thing that pops into my head when David Von Erich dies is the fucking Freebirds had something to do with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean none of that stuff ever. I mean, back when I was a kid, I don't know if I would have thought that way. Maybe I would have. Maybe I wouldn't. I mean, I don't know. I was pretty into believing everything when I was a kid when watching wrestling.
Yeah, it's like I wanted to believe. In fact, I guess I was even in denial longer than I would want to admit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
when you're that young, you really want to get into it. And, you know, it's like that dude was so hot and so, like, intense and seemed so real that, yeah, that's the first thing that popped into my mind. I remember just crying and, like, fucking the Creepers had to have killed him or something.
I mean, I get
but,
pissed off
know, yeah.
when a horseman when a beats a Rock and Roll Express or something like that. I get angry.
Yeah, and then when they shoot those promos where they kind of like talk about them, and they were pretty much heartfelt promos. I mean, at least it was for David, and maybe it changed throughout the years. But you know, when they were doing David, I mean, everybody, in I guess you could say, shot in the interview. Not that they were like shooting on Dave, but they kind of like they were speaking from the heart. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of funny when Jimmy Garvin, you know, he had that big feud with David Von Erich, and he was pressured and saying, I know what he liked to eat for breakfast, and I knew what he liked to eat for lunch. I said, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was a trip. But going back to when we even came to World Class, that's because Fritz came out on TV, and he'd actually done this before. He'd actually kind of done it before, but not like that. He didn't make a statement. I think he said it more on commentary, or it wasn't as much. But he, when David went to Florida, and David went to Florida on kind of his own, you know what I mean? And he hooked up with the Funks, and he was a heel. You know, he was a heel in Florida. And, you know, there was not, yes, Fritz was a heel, but ever since he turned, you know, the boys had to be baby faces. They had to be the good guys. And he didn't like that David was a heel. And he didn't like the fact that in the After magazines, they were talking about him being a heel or a bad guy. And he came out and said, he denied it. He said that they didn't know what they were talking about. And that basically he's still a good guy no matter what they say. And
That makes me think that, you know, that story about him probably going to be the next NWA champion was true. Maybe he was just trying out like a heel thing down there because, you know, he's had to travel around and do that kind of stuff to be kind of champion.
Yeah. And he did pretty good from what I hear as that. But later on, after Lance had left, he basically came out and he was like in his office and he basically said that, I think he basically said his name was like Ricky Vaughn and he's not, you know, a Von Erich and we won't refer to him as being a Von Erich anymore. And that was, they were already sliding down because, you know, I mean, David had died, Mike had died. You know, the quality wasn't there. There was slowly, you know, Brian Adidas was becoming the head heel around that time. And, you know, they just didn't have the talent anymore. that they used to, and you know, the Freebirds had kind of moved on a little bit here and there, or they weren't there as much. And you know, people, you know, once it's like the Ron Erich light to them, it's like that's when they really started. In my opinion, that's what was really the end. That's why, in my opinion, that was a failure in the very end, because that whole thing where they admitted that he wasn't, and you know, you had this family that everyone thought everything they did was perfect, and you know, you kind of kept it in the back in denial that, you know, okay, Kerry was doing this, or that David actually died from this, but then when they finally came out,
this is what you're worried about.
It makes you think that, like, well, what the fuck else did they lie about? You know, maybe David did die of a drug overdose. Maybe Kerry was fucked up on drugs when he wrecked his motorcycle. I mean,
I think even Kevin told him he shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, that was the biggest mistake they made. I mean, they were going to go down regardless, you know, just inevitably, but that didn't help. In fact, that actually sped up the death of World Class.
It must have been pretty bad if Lance went over to the rival Texas company or something. I guess, I don't know, something must happen between them or something.
Well, they didn't really steal a whole lot of people. They stole, like, Lance, and they stole, like, Sunshine and the Missing Link.
Which is funny, because like 2 years earlier, Ken Mantell stole the Freebirds and all them and went to UWF as the booker.
Yeah.
Hello, Fritz, you can wake up and know you can't trust somebody? I mean, whatever.
Yeah. So that was just a weird time back then. I remember
the whole Wendy Richter Spider Lady thing. Did you ever see that?
The Moolah thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was as far as the majority of shoots or work shoots in the modern era revolve around promos, and this one actually was an actual shoot in the ring. And I remember watching it. It was on just one of the WWE TV shows. And, you know, I just remembered it. But right from the beginning, because the Spider Lady was like a Lady Maxine type.
Kind of
real
slim,
tall. Real tall, thick, not fat, but thick. You know, like an extra large baby doll. double XL baby doll. And very, very distinct, and Wendy Richter supposed. Basically, what happened is Wendy Richter's contract had kind of come up. Wendy Richter is by far the top. She's in the top five as far as people in the WWE. She really was over. She really was over. People don't give her the credit she probably deserves. But basically, her contract was up. They wanted her to sign a new contract, and they wanted her to basically. She's going to have her match, and they basically wanted her to sign her contract and do her thing before she went out to the match. Well, I guess she wanted to kind of look it over, which is understandable. I mean, Jesus Christ, you know, it's your livelihood right there. So basically, she wanted to do it after the match, but I think they already had it planned to whether either she does it now or she's screwed, because she went out to the ring, and I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck? That's not the Spider Lady. And then it didn't take me very long to snap that it was Moolah under there. So basically, Moolah just grabs her, and didn't she just cradle her?
And she just cradled her and kind of held her down. I can't remember if her shoulder was up and the rest kept counting or something like that.
She was trying to get out of there. I mean, she was, like, wiggling around. I mean, I'm actually surprised she wasn't able to, but he probably still would have counted anyway if she would have kind of, like, kicked out.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a mess. And then, the Spider Lady takes the mask off, and it's Moolah. And I think Wendy tried to kind of grab at her or try to form her or something, and then Moolah just totally no sells it.
Needs
to be an even bigger bitch. She's and with a smile like, and so they took the title away from her.
She was in the WWF until that WrestleMania a couple of years ago.
Yeah, into the Hall of Fame. She still looked good at the Hall of Fame, by the way. And
I think after that she had gone to Puerto Rico or something and worked a lot, because I remember she was married to Hugo Savinovich, the Spanish national team.
how the fuck did Hughes put fucking, how did he pull that off? She must, she must have, like, been really into coke or something
like
at the time.
Back then, so, I don't know.
Yeah, dude, well, you know, I think Hughes was, like, the coke dealer for for the Puerto Rican guys. Anyway, that disparaged Hugo. He's always been one of my favorite announcers, even though I never knew what the fuck he was saying. She did a couple things for, like, Global, I think. She might have made an appearance here or there. But
she was AWA World Champion for a while.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And do you remember her before that angle with Cyndi Lauper? She was around for, like, a few years, and she changed her body a lot because she was a lot thicker, you know? She was built more like a baby doll. She was, like, way thicker. And she was still kind
of... Cornette was, like, one of the first people she managed. Or he managed her.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
And, she still looked good, but she was pretty thick. And she actually looked at the time like she could whip some guys' asses and stuff. And then she toned down, and she got hot. She was hot back then. I mean, she had the perfect look. You know, she was in the right spot. Everything worked out perfect. And, basically she got screwed over, though. You know, I mean, they really just screwed her over. And then, you know, basically the women's division just, it might have had like a little thing here or there, but I mean, you know,
Moe and they,
Rock and Robin.
Moe was a champ. They didn't do that much with her anyway, you know.
Yeah, they just had her like lose to like a Rock and Robin, but they didn't really push that too hard. And yeah, you know, that was pretty much it for the WWE.
That's
women's
like when all the women wrestlers look like truck drivers.
Like what?
When women wrestlers look like truck drivers.
There were some ugly ones back in the day, like Venus and Judy Martin, and, you know, yeah, there were some...
As bad as somebody, people want to say women are today, at least they're better looking.
Yeah, at least they're better looking. But the women back then, they could actually beat the shit out of some of the men. Oh, man, like if you want to see some shooting and some work shooting, check out the fucking that documentary we talked about it one time on the show, The Lipstick and Dynamite. Because you got some old ladies.
It's on Netflix too.
Oh, cool. Yeah, if you can, I'm serious. Everybody out there, you think, oh, it's women's wrestling. Oh, it's these old women. No, check this fucking documentary out. It's in the, as Todd Martin would say, it's in the number one tier of documentaries or wrestling related stuff. You'll see a bunch of old, mean, tough ass old ladies shooting on each other.
Sure will.
And Moolah's working. And Moolah's working the whole time.
Moolah, that whole Moolah Mae Young and a Diamond Lil thing was just a creepy fucking thing to me. I don't know what the deal was. It was like seemed like their dog or something. I think they'd throw a ball across the room.
They're sitting there, and Moolah goes, "Tell me your name." "My name is Diamond Lil." "No, tell me your real name." And just the look on Moolah's face is like she's so embarrassed by her.
Like one of those creepy ass horror movies or something, you know?
Yeah,
dude.
Some
weird
crazy. It's crazy. But yeah, all the old ladies shoot on Moolah but Moolah's working the whole time. Everything Moolah says is a fucking work. Mae Young kind of was like in the middle, and it's funny because you could tell they all respected Mae Young, but they just hated Moolah. But yeah, you want to see some shooting, check out that video. There's some old-ass women shooting like you wouldn't believe. It's beautiful. But let's see what else I can think of here. This is a pretty awesome one, and... honestly, when I first heard it, I'll be honest with you, I actually got pissed off at the dude. And a lot of people got pissed off at the dude. Even Terry Funk was very pissed off at the dude. And that's the famous Shane Douglas promo when he, and that was a shoot too, because.
It was a complete shoot, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we got to talk about what exactly happened. Basically, what happened is they're going to have a tournament for the NWA title.
Yeah, this was Eastern Championship Wrestling. It wasn't Extreme Championship Wrestling yet. It was still Eastern Championship Wrestling. They were a member of the of what was left of the NWA after I remember, didn't they finally, they got the belt back, or not the belt, but they finally had gotten the NWA title away from, like, WCW or something like that in 93.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They stopped recognizing it. So ECW was, like, the biggest independent at the time, and so that they were going to, you know, have a tournament, you know, under the ECW, you know, the NWA title tournament under the ECW banner using a bunch of their guys from their organization, some other people from other ones. And they had this big tournament. And I remember the first thing I remember reading was originally they Dennis Corluzzo, who was like the, I guess, I don't know, was he the, he was the president or something of the NWA, or like one of the branches of it. I don't know. NWA got all these branches of it. I don't know what that means.
It was like the big shot of the NWA. He kind of called.
I think
the
he
shot.
Was the only other like little bitty territory that like really meant anything or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah,
kind of. He wanted Chris Benoit to win the NWA title. And the Todd Gordon said, no, if we're going to do this, like, under the ECW banner and have everything, like, with all these guys of ours, let's have Shane Douglas win. So they said okay. And so it gets to the finals, and Shane Douglas beats Too Cold Scorpio to win the championship. And he gives this speech, and he starts talking about all the different NWA champions, from Dusty Rhodes to Ric Flair to Harley Race to Ricky Steamboat, and they can all kiss my ass.
Well, yeah. Before that, David, you can hear someone in the audience kept screaming, Kerry Von Erich! Kerry Von Erich! And he said, Kerry Von Erich! And then he said they could all kiss my ass, and then talked about how the company didn't mean anything and died of death so many years ago.
Well, he was
wrong.
Right. I mean,
yeah, he was right, but
he didn't mean shit.
Yeah,
I mean, NWA to me is Four Horsemen, Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, all that shit. It's not Chris Candido. It's not Tracy Smothers. It's not Dan Severn.
Well, to me, it's even more than that. To me, it was every, like, because, you know, I watched it, you know, the territories, you know, when it was actually going on. So, to me, the NWA was like, that was wrestling, you know what I mean, because it seemed so important because everybody was a part of it.
Yeah, but that's just what dead and gone by this time, so, you know.
Yeah, but tell that to Terry Funk, who was the NWA World Champion, you know, and he's seeing a guy basically throwing the title down and basically spitting on the title he held, whether it meant anything or not at the time. I mean, I'm pretty sure there were a lot of pissed off people.
It was a huge boost for ECW and changing, like, over to Extreme.
Yeah. It catapulted the whole thing. It was a very big, important, it's a very important event in pro wrestling because it changed, it turned a little small promotion that no one really knew about it into ECW, which became the number three organization and made waves and, you know, made news, and it started that whole thing, and then it started the whole gimmick of Shane Douglas every week coming out and cussing just about every other word. Basically, he would do the Briscoe promo that you didn't like from a couple of weeks ago, and basically just do it on Ric Flair, and did it every time. And he was actually pretty good at it. You know, he was great at the anti-Ric Flair promo.
He had a huge feud with Ric Flair for like 6 years, and they only worked together like 6 months.
Somebody, I know. even if that, dude, I didn't even know if it lasted that long.
They worked like maybe 1 month together.
Yeah, they could have got so much more on, made a bigger deal about that, but they didn't.
I never understood the beef with the beef with Flair. He just sounded kind of like a whiner. Plus, if Ric Flair showed up in an ECW arena, everybody would piss their pants over him.
Yeah, and at the time that he's mad about, I mean, he wasn't that big of a name. I mean, he had a good run. I mean, he was in the tag team with Ricky Steamboat, you know. He wanted to be more than he was a lot sooner than he was. And, you know, I mean, maybe had he gone out there and learned how to ride that fucking skateboard or got a little more into the character, you know what I mean? Maybe people would be more willing to have pushed him sooner, you know, seeing he was more dedicated. But he always kind of came off as, honestly, I mean, and I don't know Shane Douglas, but the way he reads stuff or kind of the way he comes off, as some, if you don't know him, he kind of comes off as a jackass, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, guy at his age at that point, and I didn't even know what the beef is with Flair. He just sounded like a whiner that whole time he was doing all that shit.
Yeah, it got him over, though. It got him over huge. I mean, he was the biggest thing in ECW for, like, a very long time and stuff. So, I mean, it worked. I mean, you know, it made him a name.
He was somebody in ECW, but he was never anybody anywhere else. I think.
He just had too many enemies, dude. Like, WWE, he was screwed because the click didn't like him for whatever reason. And then when he went to WCW, they didn't like him just because of all the fucking Flair bullshit he talked before. And, just, you know, he was his own worst enemy, dude, when you think about it.
Yeah, I remember an interview with Jim Cornette said, the only way Shane Douglas is going to be happy is if he runs the promotion, he's the booker, and he's the top star. That's the only way he's ever going to be happy.
Yeah. And then it came
to WWF when he first came in. It's like, because you know they always used to throw Sean Waltman at some of the new people.
Yeah.
You know, he can get a good match, but anyway, they said if you can't work with him and you know, you can't work with anybody. And so, and they didn't have good matches, apparently, so that kind of buried him right there.
Yeah, and then for all we know, he kind of probably got sabotaged, you know what I mean? Because there was a lot of heat about that. I remember when they denied Scott Hall going backstage at an ACW show because of Shane Douglas and the ones. Yeah. So,
yeah, I remember that.
That was kind of crazy. And, Let me see what else I can think of here. I'm basically going off of what Marker and posted on here. And, we're going to talk shoots. Let's talk about the guy who probably does more shoot videos than anybody in the world and does them on his own. And that's the one and only, what the hell is his new nickname in TNA?
Who's that?
Matt Hardy.
Cold Blood Matt Hardy?
Cold Blood Matt Hardy, the Angelic Diablo, Matt Hardy, shooting all over the internet, going crazy.
Cold Blood, that sounds like a ripoff of a shitty indie ripoff of Steve Austin's name or something like that. Cold Blood.
I know, right? Well, Matt Hardy, who likes to for quite a while, has been going on YouTube and making videos and just shooting and doing all kind of, and Jeff too, but mainly Matt. And, you know, they kind of worked an angle based off, I guess you could call the whole thing with him and Agent Lita kind of a work shoot because it was based off what actually happened to him in real life.
Oh, yeah. And that was only the other time ROH got mentioned on WWF TV.
Yeah, that's right. He worked some shows for them, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And,
I think Vince lets like stuff like ROH get mentioned because, you know, he doesn't see them as a threat or anything. So
I don't think he sees them as a threat, but I also think that he kind of has like a little respect for them because
like
they're kind of like old school. Yeah, I think he actually has a little respect for them just because they're out there trying.
Great is a good place to get talent from.
And it's just too bad there's a height and weight requirement, or they'd have all kinds of fucking talents. I mean, you know, if Austin Aries was just a little taller and a little bigger, he'd be right there where CM Punk is as far as just Austin heel. And, you know, Bryan Danielson would be getting more of a push than he is right now, you know, just a little bigger. Everyone there was just too damn small. But, yeah, you know, I think Vince has, like, an appreciation for just the old schoolness of the promotion.
Yeah, I don't think Vince hates like pro wrestling as much as people like to say he does. I really don't think he does.
Yeah.
I really think he's just doing what he's doing the way he does it because he knows that's the way he's made money since he started doing it. You know.
Yeah, and then like times change, so you kind of gotta change with them. But yeah, Matt Hardy just constantly going on the internet Didn't he ever put a video with a maskless Rey Mysterio and they're eating sushi?
Yeah, that was right before he got fired in like last year.
Yeah. Yeah, well, just, going back to we're talking about the love triangle. Basically, he was dating Lita, who Lita was like his valet for the most part. And anyway, she just decided to start fucking Edge, who was married at the time, I believe, also. And
you know,
they met around
Ed
for a while.
Had a knee injury or something, was off the road for like, what, maybe 6 months or so?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So basically, she hooked up with Edge, and then Matt found out about it and started like a big thing in the back, and they decided to fire Matt Hardy over it. You know, the guy who got wrong, he's the one that got fired. That's what I thought was so absurd at the time. And,
well,
I think
stuff happened like to Edge's car and stuff like that. And
okay.
It just kind of, him going on the internet just kind of incited and just stoked the fire in the whole thing. I think that's what the whole feeling was.
Yeah, and what's funny is, like, now, you know, people kind of laugh at Matt Hardy, but at the time, he did get a lot of sympathy. I mean, he actually was over big time for doing these internet shoot
Oh, yeah, he's not, back then, he wasn't like now where he's just like an unlikable dipshit.
He also didn't come out like he was totally wasted on painkillers, you know, when he did the
he wasn't putting up videos of him, of him and Lita, and him tasing her without her knowing it. It was coming.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Shit.
Yeah, but, yeah, he was doing that shit, and, you know, it's just kind of amazing how he went from the internet darling to now he's, you know, he gets crapped on quite a bit, to be honest with you.
I really never, to me, he was the Robert Gibson of the Hardy Boys, you know?
He was,
okay.
But there was they had a small window where they actually could have really got him over when he started doing the Matt Hardy 2.2.
Mattitude.
Yeah, the Mattitude.
Mattitude.
Yeah, he was actually good. I enjoyed it. I thought he was awesome at that character. It just didn't really go with it, you know?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, he has Mick Foley down here, and I'm trying to think. When did Mick Foley cut a worker, a shoot promo?
Oh, all that ACW stuff he did. You know, the Anti-Hardcore?
Yeah, I don't know if you could actually call that a shoot, but it was
kind of speaking from the heart a little bit. With the people in the crowd, you know, the Kane Dewey sign and all that bullshit.
Yeah, it had elements of truth to it, so I guess you could consider that. But that is some of his best work. I mean, I remember reading the book and just, like, I had heard about the promo before and reading the book, and it's like, I cannot wait till I hear this fucking promo for real. And then when I actually did hear it, and it actually lives up to your, like, high expectations, I mean, that is one of the greatest promos of all time. I mean, fuck,
you know,
dude. I mean,
the stuff he did, it was like, it wasn't really having anything to do with actual wrestling. You know, it was just, the promos were so good and acting was so good and the stuff he was doing, it, and matches really didn't matter.
Yeah.
I love him going out there trying to have scientific matches because he didn't want to give the blood and guts to the hardcore fans.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, he was so good. He was like, he could have done movies at the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was just, that character was just so, he was just so into it. And so, you know, the promos, they did seem like a shoot because they seemed so real. You know, and like I say, they did have elements where he kind of was like, he used. But, I mean, there were literally people, the sign guy dude, didn't he like the wasn't that guy like distraught, dude, and like depressed for like a long time? Because
he dropped the Kane Dewey sign?
Yeah, because he had the Kane Dewey sign. And like, I think it ate him up and it like really like fucked with his brain that he thought that it was really his fault. You know what I mean? I mean,
it is a fucked up sign to make,
though. Yeah,
you know,
but that's,
you're in fucking ECW. You don't want your children's names out there and bullshit like that.
Yeah, but I mean, when it came down to it, though, it was one of the best things that ever happened to Mick Foley, though.
Yeah.
I mean, when you really think about it, but
yeah, because he was doing great stuff before, you know, like in WCW and stuff like that with the promos, but that just like took it to another level. And
yeah, yeah, that was awesome. And then he has Ric Flair mentioned, and I was kind of thinking, what shoot did he do? But now I'm thinking that last Nitro. The last Nitro, that promo is one of the fucking best fucking promos of Ric Flair's career, where he's like, he's all, your dad voted for me to be world champion. And then he's all, I wrestled 60 minutes, cut myself twice, you know, I mean, or bladed twice, or I forgot exactly how he said it, but I mean, that was an awesome shoot promo.
Also, the one, you know, when he came back wearing Greenville that one night after Bischoff had sued him?
Oh, yeah.
And gave that big speech and said, abuse of power, you're a no good son of a bitch. And he was talking so hard, he busted his own mouth open.
I know, I would literally get scared for him and his health about him having a heart attack or a brain aneurysm because, my God, he got into those fucking crazy promos when he was doing, like, the Ric Flair crazy gimmick and stuff.
And then he did have the heart attack in the ring, you know, the work one. It was terrible.
Yeah, that was a trip, but, yeah, but that one on the last night show, that was an awesome, awesome fucking promo.
Yeah.
And then when he was shooting where he was, like, Christopher Daniels came out that one TNA thing, and he's like, who's that? That was fucking hilarious. Oh, and he fired Gunnar and Murphy. Oh, dude, that was fucking hilarious. But I don't know, can you think of any more that we've missed?
I'm trying to wreck my brain.
I think we've covered, like, I'm sure in hindsight we're going to think back and go, damn, we forgot about this or we forgot about that, but...
Oh, we talked about, talk about some of the Brett and Shawn stuff. We didn't really talk about that.
Well, to be honest with you, Shawn was telling Brett what to say. You know what I mean? So, you can't really... It's not as shocking as they... I mean, they really did hate each other, but the stuff they were saying to each other really wasn't that much of a shock to each other, because basically Shawn was beating the lines that he used against Shawn. Shawn was
Sunny Days comment was a shock.
Yeah, that was okay. That was, and then he said that shit, and he's fucking Sunny the whole time himself.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I mean, and it's still not known whether or not she was fucking Bret Hart. I mean, I think a lot of people kind of took that conclusion because of the way she would talk on. Was it Wrestling with Shadows?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, but it's a known fact that Shawn was having sex with her. And then he makes that, I guess he just did that to get into trouble with his wife or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a shock. I wonder what Sonny thinks about
that. Well, I mean,
it's not
like he could turn around and say something about Shawn fucking her. I mean, I don't think Shawn was married, so he wouldn't care, so.
Yeah. And that's back when Shawn was partying anyway, you know what I mean? So he really didn't care. But, yeah,
I
think, you know what? This actually just reminded me of the most recent shoot of them all, and I haven't heard it. I just heard Dave and Brian talking about it, but the Randy Orton thing. Have you heard it or read it?
No, I just read it.
Read it? Well, it's funny because he basically, if you don't know what we're talking about, is he did an interview and he kind of talked. I don't know if he was just talking about her or actually making fun of her, but basically he talked about how Kelly was making her way through the dressing room and she probably slept with about 10 different dudes. And,
yeah, I didn't hear it, so I don't know if he is like maybe said it in a sarcastic fashion or whatever, but yeah, he got in trouble.
It is. Well, it is true because, you know, inside sources that I have told me she was working her way to the locker room at the time. And at the time that I was told this, she was actually trying to get Batista, which knowing Batista's reputation, I'm sure he hit that. But if these there were some pictures on the board, and these are pics on the board for people to see, is she was at a rock concert with Chris Jericho who happens to be married, and they were making out. So, yeah, she has no qualms about who she goes after or
well,
what she does.
Didn't bring that stuff up on interviews and stuff. That's me.
Yeah, and like Dave said, what's the big deal? I mean, do people criticize Batista? Do people criticize Batista because he's been with a bunch of divas? I mean, no. I mean, I don't. It's that double standard, unfortunately. You know.
A double standard, you know, during the whole Edge and Lita thing. Oh, God, probably people saying, "Oh, Lita's a fucking whore. She's a slut." Nobody ever said nothing bad about Edge.
Yeah, I know, right? Edge was the one that was fucking married. Matt was just Lita's boyfriend. You know what I mean? And Edge just got married at the time. You know what I mean? But no one said shit. You know, he didn't lose his job or anything. It's just like that double standard is very unfair. Unfair double standard.
To know that a diva slept with like 15 or 20 people, that just means I've got a better shot at getting some.
Yeah, no shit, right? like this one friend of mine, this is a while back, he's like, we saw some chick we used to know, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, kind of bringing up like, I forgot what he actually said, but I'm like, dude, you know, chicks fucking actually have more sex than dudes, you know what I mean? They're more fucking predators than guys are, so, you know.
It's that whole,
that's just
a whole high school mentality.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a high school
if
mentality.
If you're a chick in high school and you sleep with a few people, you're a whore. If you're a guy in high school, you're like the biggest fucking stud.
Yeah. So that's kind of a, you know, that's something that, you know, it's always going to be like that regardless. I don't think it'll ever change.
Yeah.
Just one of those things, but he actually had to apologize.
He brought up his heat for who he dated on that promo.
Right?
He said, they even give me heat for who I date around here.
I remember he got pissed off at that one girl. Which one was it? Basically, he was like a Diva Search girl, and he's like hitting on her, and she's like, well, who are you? Because, you know, she wasn't a wrestling fan, just a model trying to get a job. And that, like, sent him off the deep end. And I think he started shitting in bags and doing all other kinds of stuff to her. You know what I mean?
Who does that? I could never do something like that to somebody. That's horrible.
I know. That's disgusting, dude. That's absolutely
disgusting.
Well,
of course, when they put it in your food, like they did to Sonny in Germany. Or to Mark Henry.
Mark,
like, I'm going to put shit in Mark Henry's sandwich. That's why he's so mad now. They've been doing all this shit to him.
Right? That's fucking hilarious.
If they bring Punk back or something, they put, like, some kind of, like, rebel faction together. Mark Henry should be in that rebel faction.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Henry's been awesome the last few weeks.
Yeah, he actually has. He actually has his moments here and there. He's just not a main eventer, you know. But you can get some good use out of him.
Yeah,
you know, him and the Big Show. Like, I think the Big Show running out to the ring is even more impressive than fucking Charles Robinson running, hauling everything he has, balls to the walls in that WrestleMania match.
Well, now we just need to get to WrestleMania and get Big Show to do a run in that fashion. You know,
Big Show doesn't need to be in the match. He needs to be in a fucking sprint challenge like Charles Barkley did against that old referee, or Charles Robinson against the Big Show. Oh, that would be biased right there.
I watched Sean Penn's show the other night.
Oh, you did? I haven't seen it yet.
It was pretty cool. Ric Flair was on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was at the Hall of Fame, and he had given as a gift to Sean for the Hall of Fame, gave him like a gold belt buckle. I don't know where he got the money, but he gave it to him.
I'm going to have to shoot on someone here. How the fuck did Brian Alvarez, who was at the fucking building, not realize that Ric Flair is right fucking there? And he was sitting pretty close to Stone Cold at that. How the fuck do you not see that, Brian? How the fuck are you that fucking stupid that you didn't fucking see everyone going crazy and wooing and the big commotion? Everyone was going crazy for Ric Flair, and how do you not see that? LASIK surgery,
hey,
my ass.
Do you listen to the show every week? You see how much shit he misses?
He does, right?
And then he brings Craig.
He brings
some ADD or something going on there. I don't know what the deal is. There's something wrong.
Yeah. Something's going on. And what was the deal with Dave being a party pooper? Well, the best time was in the year, and all he could think about, oh, this would be better, this would be better, this we could do that, we could do this, we could do, let's do it for that. It's like,
I don't know, haven't they been talking about how they should do something to build up their lesser pay-per-views?
Yeah.
Maybe get a few extra buys? I mean, I don't know. It just, yeah.
And then let's add Bret Hart to the mix. It's like, what? I usually agree with like 99% of what Dave says or thinks, but I totally disagree with him on that subject. And it also reminds me of like the build to the Arizona WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
Like, how did they not see where the Bret Hart thing was going? You know what I mean? They were like totally, it's like the injury angle, like the hit by the car thing. And that kind of stuff. I mean, it was like, hello, it's so obvious that that's what it's going to be, but they were like, they just couldn't get it for some reason. But
I don't know, maybe they got so much on their mind sometimes they forget. I mean, there's so many times when, like, they'll ask the questions, and it'll be like something from, like, the 80s or the early 90s or something. Like, I don't even know the answer, and they're sitting there wrapping their brains and going like, God damn it, I wish I was on there. No, I can answer that fucking question.
Right? No kidding. But Brian's way worse than Dave about that. But
yeah,
we got 3 minutes to go. We got 3 minutes to go, so let me drop the plug real quick. Everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com along with a lot of other shows. So everyone check out angrymarks.com. Craig wants me to plug, I think next week, it probably won't be a long interview, but we will be having T-Bone from World of Hurt. And The recently violated T-Bone from, that's going to be so awesome talking about that on the air. and then in 2 weeks, we will be joined by, I'm actually kind of excited because I really like this guy. He was in a couple great tag teams. Well, actually, it was one tag team. And we're scheduled to have Pat Tanaka on in 2 weeks. So,
oh, really?
So he was part of Bad Company with Paul Diamond, feuding with the Rockers in the AWA. And then he was also in ECW, I believe. And he was also part of the... What?
Memphis?
Yeah, he was in Memphis a lot, but he was also part of the Orient Express. In the WWE, first with, I forgot the one other
Tato.
Asian guy, Tato, and
Tato.
Then with back with Paul Diamond wearing a mask as Kato. And that would be cool. I was always a big fan of Paul Diamond, so I mean, I'm actually very excited to the Pat Tanaka one.
He's from right around your area, isn't he, in Paul Diamond?
He was here for a while, dude. He actually, the very first time I called Wrestling Observer Live, I actually kind of, I didn't want to say I tried to spread the rumor, but I broke the news on why Paul Diamond left San Antonio. Is basically when he was the trainer working for the the Texas Wrestling Alliance. Him and his wife and family, they lived in this house that was basically owned. Shawn Michaels owned the house, and basically I worked when I was at UPS at the time. One of the supervisors told me he was Paul Diamond's neighbor, and he didn't like wrestling, but he was Paul Diamond's neighbor, and he said that Sean, he'd see Sean there, and so, and basically what happened was Sean just decided to up and lease the house to somebody else without really talking to Paul about it. I guess he just kind of dropped it like kind of like last minute kind of thing, and Paul wasn't happy about that because, you know, he's basically got to go find himself a new place to live, kind of, you know what I mean? I mean, you get set or comfortable when something's like one way, and then all of a sudden, you know, things changing. So he kind of just got put off and went back to Canada and stuff. And I remember I brought that out, and Dave and Brian were like, oh, okay, you know. I figured they'd hit all the little, like, copy and paste websites, but no one ever brought it up. So my first big attempt to start a rumor in wrestling failed miserably, epic fail.
I just remember,
yeah,
I was listening to, like, a shoot interview, like, from a few years ago, And there was when they were all in WWF, there was a story about how Paul Diamond was having an affair with Tatanka's wife and was flying Tatanka's wife to the town so he could be with her. That's so odd, isn't it? You're going to fly a guy's wife who's probably on the tour with you to the town.
Yeah.
I don't know. That sounds odd.
And it's pro wrestling. It's pretty weird.
Yeah, I think
weird.
They kind of had a falling out over that or something like that.
Right.
But, yeah, that'd be cool. I've always been a fan of his.
Yeah. Yeah, Shao, I remember the original, well, not the, it wasn't the original American Force, but him and Sean, that was, they were awesome way back in the day.
Yeah, he always took
but,
a bunch of best flip bumps, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I even saw him, like, when he was back as a trainer for the TWA, he had an awesome match with Just Incredible here in San Antonio, and that was pretty awesome. But, well, Chris, I guess we can go ahead and wrap up. I really can't think of too many shoots. I'm sure once we hang up, I'll think of about 20 more. But
it kind of sucks because it kind of sucks that there's no live Raw this Monday because I was kind of looking forward to, like, a live Raw for like, the follow-up because I wasn't going to be able to stay away from the spoilers, like, for a whole week, so I had to read them.
Yeah, yeah.
Which it just tells you what you saw wasn't real when you just read the spoilers that start 5 minutes after the show went off the air.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just bad timing as far as having to tape that second Raw. But, I mean,
you know, I'll say something about Vince McMahon. I'd say, you got to give him credit for letting the guy go out there and do that.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah,
most
definitely.
Will. Because a lot of that stuff was true, and a lot of that stuff probably... Maybe they didn't want to get out or something, you know. But, hey, Vince don't care if somebody talks about him. He brings people back all the time that have done shit on him, so he don't care.
Yeah, yeah. So if Macho Man wouldn't have died, he would have been back eventually. So
yeah, he's been back sometime for Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And but basically, I guess we'll go ahead and start to wrap up. Is there anything else that you want to talk about before we go?
No. That's it.
That's it. Yeah, I don't really have too much. I'm excited about the UFC show Saturday. That should be pretty cool. One last thing I'll talk about. Did you see that fucking bait and switch headline by David Bryan? Or I don't know which one did it, but basically, you look on the front page, it says, UFC fires main eventer. And I'm like, what? Who the fuck did they fire? And then you click on it, and it turns out it's Strikeforce's Brett Rogers. He fought Fedor and gave Fedor a little bit of a challenge, and then Fedor kicked his ass. And then he fought that guy Overeem, and he got his ass kicked by him. And then he just got his ass schooled by Barnett, who was cutting pro wrestling promos. But he kind of got a name because on one of the first Kimbo shows, he had like a prelim match where he knocked out some guy pretty good. And then he fought Andre Orlovsky, who's pretty much turned out to be like a joke with no jaw. And he knocked out Orlovsky, which back then people were like, oh, shit, Brett Rogers. But actually now it says more about Orlovsky than Brett Rogers. But Brett Rogers got tired of getting his ass kicked and getting his school. So he decided he wanted to win a fight. So he went out and he beat the shit out of his wife and gave her like a big old
hematoma. Right,
and I think he might have choked her out and just beat the shit out of her. And basically he was fired from that because now UFC owns Strikeforce, but he didn't work for UFC, he worked for Strikeforce. So you can't say UFC fired him. You could say Zuffa fired him, but you can't say UFC fired him. And yes, he was in some main events on Strikeforce, but honestly, he wasn't a real headliner. He just because it was Strikeforce and they didn't have anybody else. But yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. But, oh, okay. I think you still have a membership there. What's the fucking deal with the show blurb for the Brian and Vinny show last night and people bringing up pro wrestling spyware because I guess they decided they wanted to make fun of Dave and Brian because of what Dave was talking about on the show. Even though anyone who actually heard the show knows that Dave was talking facetiously and not breaking news. And, of course, everyone takes it like, oh, God, Dave Meltzer said Brock Lesnar is coming back to WWE.
No, they said that they got a bunch of emails about, because, you know, the story, David said that in the Observer, David had put in that, you know, negotiations for a business relations, non-television business relationship with Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar is going on. So I think one thing, when somebody takes something from Dave and goes spreading around, it always comes back to, like, not, see, the story's been morphed into Dave Meltzer says that Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman are going back to WWE. That's what the whole thing was. And what's his name? Ariel Helwani picked up, which I don't know why he just didn't pick up the phone. He probably could have picked up the phone and called Dave Meltzer and asked him about this, you know. And he said that Dave Meltzer's reporting that he said this on his Twitter, I think, that Heyman and Lesnar are returning to WWE, and he just wanted to confirm that that's not what's happening, that they're just doing a business deal, which is originally what Dave said in The Observer, that they were doing a business deal where there would be nothing to do with being on TV or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so people started, like, so PW Insider, people started emailing them and asking. And so they looked at the thing that Ariel Helwani did, and then so they said that they didn't want the, if the story was false, they didn't want the person that wrote it to, you know, to, I don't know, get, you know, they just didn't want the guy's name to get out there if the story ended up being wrong. So that's why they didn't put Dave Meltzer's name. They just put, like, all those stars and X's and stuff like that, that so-and-so and, like, so-and-so is reporting that Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman are going back to WWE. So that's kind of, that's what they did there. They just wouldn't print his name, which they didn't really acknowledge other dirt sheet guys and stuff like that. So it wasn't a surprise.
Yeah, you think other internet reporters could actually do some internet reporting and report and check on something for real? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of just taking emails from everyone else or seeing material.
Over POW Insider, it's like WWF in the 80s. You know, you don't.
You know what?
You don't talk about other companies around here.
Yeah. I clicked on that fucking link on the board, and it took me to fucking spyware, and the goddamn pop-ups were popping up and all this fucking crap. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the first fucking time in like 5 years that I've come to this fucking site, because ever since I got a Wrestling Observer, there's no need to go to that shitty-ass site with its fucking 100 fucking pop-up ads and its spyware that tries to invade your shit every time you get on. And half the time, my computer would fucking freeze because of all that crap and really piss me off and made me have to
even
fucking re-log
in. Even Dave O'Brien's site doesn't do that, you know, if you're not a member.
You only get that one ad that might cover part of the headlines or top stories, and that's it.
Oh yeah, if you actually put your mouse over that top banner,
yeah,
sucker will come down. You got to find a little bitty X. That's about it.
Yeah, they make their money off of their work and people wanting to read and listen to their shit, and not making their money off of fucking pop up ads that you have to fucking put all over your goddamn website because, you know, they have members and shit, but you know they don't have that much members that they got to have that much fucking ad revenue come in to fucking supplement their fucking income. So that just right there tells you that they're second rate. They're a fucking second rate website. They've always been a second rate website. They got one fucking source by the name of Tommy Dreamer, who once he left WWE, they weren't breaking WWE news anymore. Now they're just doing TNA news. And once he's done with TNA, what are they going to do? Break Dragon's Gate USA news? I mean, come on now. You know?
Well,
and then they can't take a fucking joke.
Nobody cares
they can't
about
take a
USA anyway.
Yeah. And they can't take a fucking joke. I got offended by Buck Wilbur just because I said that I was going to wait to believe some story until I read it in The Observer. And then I got offended 2 minutes later, fucking asshole. And he's not even as bad as David Shear. David Shear's just a fucking asshole. Fuck him. You know, I'm sure Mike Johnson works hard and he does a good job, but as far as...
He does a good job. I'll say that about it. He's really good about having a lot of sources and breaking news and stuff like that. I've never seen anything bad about him when it comes to that. So.
Yeah, I won't say anything about Mike Johnson. He works hard. He does come up with news. But as far as...
If he wasn't there, the site would fail. I guarantee you.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't like that site. I dislike that site immensely, you know. And like I said, I've been there... It's because I clicked on a link that was on the board. The only reason I haven't been there in the last 5 years. So, You know, if you're out there and you're not actually a member of WrestlingObserver.com and you only know shit like Spyware.com or these other sites, just go to WrestlingObserver.com and you'll see why it's head and shoulders, not even close, not even fucking close to how much better it is than The Torch or Spyware.com.
It was funny. It's funny because Dave Shearer didn't really understand why would we need to have an iPhone app? You know?
Yeah.
Well, it's just something to do for your subscribers. I mean, they eventually got one. I mean, I still use the old F4W one, even though they got the new desktop mobile site. I still use that one every once in a while.
Tony kind of updated it so you could switch over to the regular one, and I switched over back to the regular one.
Yeah, the other one loads kind of slow.
Well, the other one, basically what happened is what pissed me off is I have a Droid, and Droids can play Flash. So when I would listen to the shows, I would play it on the site media player because it never puts my phone in the sleep mode. Like, you know how, like, your phone will go dark and, like, save energy? Yeah. When you're doing, the site thing, your phone basically stays on. Now, of course, it's wasting energy, but so what? I don't care. It's going to last for the show. So it stays on. If you listen to the show on your Droid media player, it'll go black sometimes it'll time out, you know, after like so long. So I always listened to it on the media player. I mean, not the media player, on the site player. So it would constantly play all the way through. But when they switched over to the mobile site, he didn't have the media. He didn't have the site player. He only had the link to the media player. And it was driving me crazy because this is the show where I do my paper out, and I'd be throwing my paper out, and then boom, it's gone, and then it got restarted, and then you got to move it up, you know, you're fucking, it's just a bunch of hassle. So I actually brought it up to him that I wanted to see if he could bring back the player, and he was like, what, the Droids actually will play that? And people were like, yeah, you know, they played Flash. So he put it back, but whenever he would push it, you'd have to, like, push it, like, 10 fucking times before it would actually turn on. And it was kind of pushing me off, so I went back to the original thing now, and now you only got to push it once or twice for it to start, so.
Ah, okay.
I'm actually more happy with the original site version than the mobile version. and the board was the same, it stayed the same way anyway, so that didn't make a difference, but we'll go ahead and wrap up, so everybody come back next week. I think we'll be at the normal time. If not, we'll let everybody know ahead of time. Excuse me. So everyone come back for T-Bone next week, and we'll have, I'm sure, plenty of other stuff to talk about. So everybody come back next week, and we will talk to everybody then.
John Cena, while you lay there, hopefully as uncomfortable as you possibly can be, I want you to listen to me. I want you to digest this, because before I leave in 3 weeks with your WWE Championship, I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest. I don't hate you, John. I don't even dislike you. I do like you. I like you a hell of a lot more than I like most people in the back. I hate this idea that you're the best. Because you're not. I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. There's one thing you're better at than I am, and that's kissing Vince McMahon's ass. You're as good as kissing Vince's ass as Hulk Hogan was. I don't know if you're as good as Dwayne, though. He's a pretty good ass kisser. Always was and still is. Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall. I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. That's right, I'm a Paul Heyman guy. You know who else is a Paul Heyman guy? Brock Lesnar. and he split just like I'm splitting. But the biggest difference between me and Brock is I'm going to leave with the WWE Championship. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that. They're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me and the fact that day in and day out for almost 6 years I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even at commentary. Nobody can touch me. And yet, no matter how many times I prove it, I'm not on your lovely little collector cups. I'm not on the cover of the program. I'm barely promoted. I don't get to be in movies. I'm certainly not on any crappy show on the USA Network. I'm not on the poster of WrestleMania. I'm not in the signature that's produced at the start of the show. I'm not on Conan O'Brien, I'm not on Jimmy Fallon, but the fact of the matter is I should be, and trust me, this isn't sour grapes, but the fact that Dwayne is in the main event of WrestleMania next year and I'm not makes me sick. Oh, hey, let me get something straight. Those of you who are cheering me right now, you are just the biggest part of me leaving as anything else. Because you're the ones that are sipping out of those collector cups right now. You're the ones that buy those programs that my face isn't on the cover of. And then at 5 in the morning at the airport, you try to shove it in my face so you can get an autograph and try to sell it on eBay because you're too lazy to go get a real job. I'm leaving with the WWE Championship on July 17th, and hell, who knows, maybe I'll go defend it in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Maybe I'll go back to Ring of Honor. Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing? The reason I'm leaving is you people, because after I'm gone, you're still going to pour money into this company. I'm just a spoke on the wheel. The wheel's going to keep turning, and I understand that. But Vince McMahon's going to make money despite himself. He's a millionaire who should be a billionaire. You know why he's not a billionaire? Because he surrounds himself with glad-handing, nonsensical yes-men like John Laurinaitis, who's going to tell him everything that he wants to hear. And I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family. Let me tell you a personal story about Vince McMahon, all right? Do we do this whole bully camp?
You know, I just thought of something. CM Punk is lying because I am actually drinking off one of the cups that I got from a Raw, and lo and behold, CM Punk is on it. So that right there proves it was a work shoot, not a real shoot. But everybody come back next week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.